don't ask me what the name is.
Roger, overall, you have to tell me the inside story about three photographers who went off to Kerry. I don't know who doesn't know about this already, but anyone who's listened to my audio booze knows about it. I'd say anyone who's listened to your audio booze knows about it. And I believe there are people in the boardroom on Nikon who are currently waiting to see the results. Tell me the inside story.
Tell the inside story quickly.
Nikon released a camera that costs €3,500, and we pitched it against a camera that costs the best part of €40,000.
Okay, who's we? It's
Peter Cox, landscape photographer based in Killarney.
He's the guy who loves lighthouses.
Lighthouses.
Go on.
Neil McShane, who's a black and white landscape photographer based up in County Navan. And
he doesn't like colour.
Well, it's not that he doesn't like colour. And me. Yeah. We were helped by Fiacre Muller, who's a sound engineer, and by Javier Leiter, who is a photographer as well. He's an enthusiast photographer, and he loaned us the Nikon D800E.
I want you to spell both of those guys' names before we leave Café Beva, okay?
Yeah.
I want to tag their names, because I can't spell their names.
Okay, very good. Okay. Yes, no
keep
problem.
Going.
We did a David and Goliath test. And the long and short of it is, the short version is, we took a file from this €40,000 camera and printed it on 60 by 40 inch paper.
Now, how can you possibly... Now, hang on. 60 by 40 inches, that's bigger than my bed.
Well, I hope not.
Nearly.
Because it's about
how big
five...
Is it?
It's 5 feet almost.
Right, so 5 feet long. Okay, I'm taller than that.
Yeah.
But it's bigger than my child's bed.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so it's about the same size as my child's bed,
it's
we'll call
huge.
It.
Yes, it's
okay,
huge.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, great.
And we
printed that. What did you use to print that big, by the way?
Peter has an Epson printer, what is it, the 9800, something like that. It's huge.
Is it a colour print? It is
yes,
a colour
printer. Yeah.
I haven't seen this yet, by the way.
Okay, anybody's inkjet, if you have an inkjet looking on your desk, look at it and then multiply it by a factor of 25. That's how big this thing is. It's an inkjet printer, but it's just huge.
And you have barrels of ink attached to it.
We have you have cassettes of ink. If you think of the cassettes that you put in your own printer, well, imagine a cassette of ink that's 1.5 times the size of an old video cassette, if you can remember what a video cassette is. It's what we had before DVDs. They're that big.
Okay, go on. You printed this thing out.
We printed it out. So we printed a file from the €40,000 camera, which looked very, very, very good. It looked stunning. Absolutely beautiful.
Did you print small ones first?
Well, we printed relatively small ones. We printed 30 by 20 inch ones first.
And did you first of all look at it on the computer screen, by the way?
No. Well, one of us did. Peter did. The thing was, only Peter saw them on the computer screen. What we wanted to do was a real world test where two of us, Neil and myself, didn't know initially which prints came from which files from which camera.
Oh, so Peter's in behind some kind of screen?
Yeah,
Peter's
in his studio, the door was locked, Javier was outside making sure that Neil and I couldn't get in. So Peter's the only one who saw them on screen, but we wanted to do a real-world test.
And you had to guess which one came from which camera?
Yes, and we were successful. So we were successful in that regard. So, yes, there are differences between these cameras.
Okay, but hang on, before we get down to this, I got to ask you, where had you been? Where did you take the photographs that you actually used?
We took them only a couple of miles away from Killarney on the Ring of Kerry Road.
What you were going to photograph?
We were familiar with the locations. The boys are very familiar with locations, being landscape photographers. They know these locations very well. I don't.
But a location's a big place. I'm pushing for time.
Oh, yes.
So how on earth did they pick? Did they pick a rock, a stone, a tree, bird,
mountain
in the distance?
The locations were picked according to the tests we were running. So, for instance, if we wanted to measure the dynamic range, which is how well a photograph can capture highlights and shadow detail at the same time.
Oh, big contrasty stuff.
Absolutely. So we found a location that was with trees and shadow and, you know, had a lot of that.
Hard to find. The weather was good.
No, the weather was perfect for it. Absolutely perfect for it. Then we wanted to do a sharpness test, so we needed sort of a more open space so we could get maximum sharpness from front to back. So we did a depth of field test. We did lots of different tests. No, the locations were chosen based on the requirements of the test.
Did you actually have the locations mapped out in advance, or did you just say, hey, that's perfect, let's use that place?
A combination of both. We had a fairly good idea, the boys had a fairly good idea of what we wanted, and within a kilometre, these locations were...
Because Peter Cox lives down there in Kerry.
He does. Well, he doesn't live in Kerry, but he has a gallery in Killarney.
Oh, right, right. But he hangs out. Yeah. Oh, he's West Cork, isn't he?
He's based in West Cork, but he has a gallery.
And is Neil know Kerry well, or is it just a visitor?
No, not as well as
he's
Neil
down
would.
From Meath or somewhere like that, is he?
Navan.
Navan. He came out of a megalithic tomb, I heard. Is that right? One of these old burial places. Is that wrong? All right. Okay, back to the sheer point. You guys went out and you photographed these places, and you were basically doing three things. The dynamic range.
Let me see. Dynamic range.
The sharpness.
Sharpness at infinity. We did a depth of field test. And the fourth one escapes me.
Okay. Did you test the cameras by dropping them and seeing which of them worked?
No.
You didn't do that one.
This was purely.
What about the guy who does things like put objects in the microwave and see how they shape up when microwaved? You didn't try the blender one either. You didn't do the. Okay. Go on anyway. So you capture these files on day one.
Yeah, capture them on day one. By the way, this has all been filmed, and there will be a video showing all of this. But anyway, we captured the files on day one.
But as a transmedia person, you appreciate the benefits of reporting it on audio as well as filming it.
Well, absolutely. I've already reported it on audio, in fact. So, yes. Absolutely.
Go on.
But, and then at the end of day one, Peter did the processing behind closed doors. And
how long did it take him?
Not that long, because the idea was to get as much to get the files as close to what would come out of the camera, so a very little, all really what he did was
he cropping them? He didn't put them through Photoshop before he printed them off, did he?
If there was any cropping, it was to get the same kind of field of view, if you like, on the print,
and that wouldn't affect the test of the edge of the photograph, would it?
Well, it would do if it certainly is very obvious that the high end camera system comes with very very high end lenses, and also such are the physics involved that the lenses are always going to be able to resolve better detail anyway, and certainly at the edges of the frame. If you look at the edges of any frame 100% on your screen, you'll see they're usually softer than the centre. And it's just the way it usually is with most lenses, is the centre is going to be the sharpest and the edges are going to be the weakest part of the lens.
So if you're an amateur photographer and you basically don't have a top-end camera, you're best to put a frame around your photographs which cuts off the edges. Is that wrong or right?
It's both. Because most people will print at print sizes that you really won't tell the difference. You really won't be able to see the difference that much. If you print a 10x8, most of the time you won't, unless your lens is spectacularly rubbish at the edges, you won't be able to tell.
Okay, but you guys were printing bed size.
Massive, yes.
Yeah. So you were really testing.
Yeah.
Like this could almost be, what strikes me is that almost you were testing at the level at which we put a big advertising hoarding up a huge poster.
No, we were testing beyond that. Way beyond that. Because if you go to an advertising hoarding, I've had my stuff on a billboard. And it looks fantastic. But don't forget, you're seeing it this size. And I'm just holding my hands, 10 inches apart?
About 10 inches apart, yeah.
Yeah, because you're driving past in your car. Next time, just be aware, actually, how big that thing is. Because if you walk up to a billboard, you will see print. You will actually see dots of print about, I don't know, a centimetre. They're big things.
Yeah.
So what we were doing was printing so that you could walk up right up to it and see it.
Oh, I've got you. Right, I've got you. Yeah,
and see the idea.
Okay, so one guy's in behind a shield, and you guys are at the front.
Mm-hmm.
What happened next then? How did he carry this print out of the room?
Well, the first set of prints we looked at were the 30x20s. So those were the ones we were going to... Because that's pretty much as big as anybody in the real world is going to print them in terms of being an enthusiast. Look, there are professional...
So the real judging took place over 30x20s.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we selected one file from each of the same scene to blow up.
How close did you have to get to the 30 by 20 in order to make up your mind which was the better? I mean, as soon as Peter held them out in his each hand and standing 5 yards away, could you see the difference?
Truthfully, yes. But, that's because Neil and I also have knowledge of how these cameras work.
So you knew where you were looking?
Well, for instance, the very high-end camera needs a much longer exposure time. So therefore, if there was any blur in the leaves because of wind, you pretty much guaranteed that was Peter's camera over the other camera. So that's the kind of thing that gave it away. And then there were very subtle differences, very, very subtle. And this, to get to the crux of the matter here, we were looking at these prints via a loop.
A loop?
At one point.
What's a loop?
A magnifying glass.
Oh, really? Yes. All right.
To see these, to see the differences. That's at one point how close we
and
had to get.
And you knew what you were looking for. So you were professionals looking with a professional eye.
Yeah.
Somebody like me would have looked at both of those photographs and wouldn't have seen any difference.
Most probably, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, well, that means I'm not spending $50,000 on a camera system if I can't see the difference myself.
The difference is perceptible, but subtle.
At subliminal, it operates on the subconscious?
Yeah, I think, to be very honest with you, I think you would, if you looked very hard, you would see the difference between the €40,000 camera and the €3,500 camera. But in terms of your own putting your hand in your pocket, most people...
But if I was an art photographer, sorry to interrupt, but if I was an art photographer and I was actually about to put up an exhibition of me at my very best, and I was going to be charging, let us say, for my work, I was going to charge $150,000 per print.
Yeah.
Which is way less than the highest selling print of all time. But let's say I would actually have to use the top end camera, wouldn't I?
No. No, because what you're confusing there is artistic interpretation with technical perfection.
We haven't got time to go into this, but that's very interesting, Roger, overall. That is just fantastic. Give me a very quick run through. We'll do another audio boo about that. I refuse. That's much too interesting. There's a book in what you've just said. Right? I'm not even going to paraphrase it. You heard it, folks. That's the new book from Roger Overall, The Difference Between Artistic Interpretation and Technical
Perfection.
Perfection. No, come back to the point. You pull this stuff out of the room, right?
Yeah.
You go, oh my God. Meaning, bloody hell, the Nikon is nearly as good as the Phase One? Is that what you said?
Let me give you the anecdote. Let me give you the we printed, because it takes a while to print a 60-inch.
How long?
I'd say 15, 20 minutes maybe. Yeah. So we ran the first one off, and it was coming out of the printer, and it looked fabulous. But of course it would do, because it was the €40,000 camera. We then went off to lunch, and Peter, while we were away at lunch, left the printer running for the second file. We all went off to lunch. And we came back and we all entered the room at different points because we all went to do different things. When I got there, Peter and Neil were kind of in stunned silence. They looked at me when I walked in and I knew something was up. I knew something was up. And this print was still...
And they weren't play acting.
No, they weren't play acting.
This was not an act.
No. This was serious. And the second print was still coming off the printer. I looked at it and my comment was... Have you printed the same file again? And apparently they had both thought the same thing. They both came in, saw the print coming off and thought, oh, what an idiot. You know, we're printing the same file again. We're printing the same file from that very high-end camera again. And it wasn't. They checked.
If there's someone in Nikon listening to this, this is the moment. I mean, the moment, right?
This is the moment of truth because we've broadcast this to the world. We've had feedback from people who've actually said that they ran tests and they found similar or better results than we did, but they were afraid to go public because they thought they might look like complete idiots if they went out and said a far cheaper camera can stand toe to toe. Now, let me get this absolutely straight. The €40,000 camera is better.
Oh, I've heard you say that before. I know.
But, my goodness, Nikon, if you are listening, and I will be doing an audio boo directly to the the CEO of Nikon, if you are listening, the sensor you have produced and what you're able to get out of it is nothing short of miraculous. It is astonishing. It is we were gobsmacked.
I actually think you should also address the CEO of Phase One, because I think you, and you should actually have a dialogue. I think it would be good for you to go to Copenhagen, and for you to sit down calmly and gently in the boardroom of Phase One, and actually have a public conversation. And I know that you could do it in a measured and balanced way, you know, because I know that you're saying Phase One is the best, you know. But I actually think that that would be what a Google Hangout that would be.
Well, there are five companies I would like to address based on this. Nikon, Phase One, Google, because we did a Google Hangout, and I'd like to give my feedback to Google. Canon, who are sitting on the sidelines, and if you're listening, Canon, yeah, wake up, because the world has moved on. So Canon, there's an audio booter Canon, and there's an audio booter Aircom. Aircom comes out of this test the worst. Aircom comes out of this test.
Okay. I know why. Yes. You're obviously, because the Wi-Fi wasn't good enough, yeah?
The broadband was shocking.
But there's one other people you haven't mentioned, and I want you to also address them as well, right?
Tell me.
It's the people into whose space you have strayed.
The magazines. Before. The magazines, yes.
You have to address the magazines, the photographic magazines of the world.
Mm, okay.
Because what we're talking about runs the risk of threatening their future.
I agree.
Look, we better stop, right? I don't know what we haven't... Is there any last thing I should have asked you to tell me about?
No, can I do some thank yous?
Mm.
Can I thank you? Can I thank our transmedia director for publicising it and actually making us do the Google Hangout? We'll do a separate audio book about Google Hangouts later on. But Paul, thank you very much for your help. Aidan Coffey, thank you for loaning us one of the D800 cameras. And Javier, thank you also for loaning us the D800E. And Fritz. Fiacre. Fiacre Müller, our sound engineer. Thank you.
All right, thanks a minute.